For broadcasting or advertising opportunities, call 1-888-303-3884 or visit wildfireradio.com and click on Contacts.
You are listening to The Straight Shooters exclusively on Wildfire Radio. Subscribe to The Straight Shooters podcast on iTunes by visiting the iTunes store and download every episode on wildfireradio.com. Now, here's Vaughn Johnson and Nick Picone bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, Shooters Radio Universe!
My name, of course, is Vaughn Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky, I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now.
What is your name?
As always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
I don't really know us like you think that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
My God! Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Just maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, out there in internet land? My name is Vaughn Johnson, and I'm joined by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone, a Philly voice and Philly influencer, and you are listening to episode 204 of The Straight Shooters on a whole multitude of platforms. So before I get into those platforms, let me check in with my guy, Nick Picone. How you doing on this warm, muggy evening, Thursday evening as we record this? How you doing tonight, my good brother?
I'm doing good. You know, I think we got that severe weather out of the way a little early this week.
Man. It's going to happen. Supposed to be, like, really hot tomorrow, too, apparently.
Tomorrow
being Friday, and, of course, Saturday as well. So the weekend of July 18th, 19th, and 20th is supposed to be not great.
Well, it always seems like whenever we sit down and record our podcast, there's always, like, severe weather happening. Around us. Luckily, Wednesday night, last night, kind of rolled through pretty quickly. Today, it seems like we got it out of the way a little early. So hopefully we'll have no problems during the duration of this podcast. But, you know, it's been a very hot week. You know, it's really feeling like summer out there, and I hate the heat. So I am one that will complain about the heat, but I will not complain about the weather in the winter because I love the cold. So you know, that's my weather update. But other than that, I'm doing great. The Phillies took 2 out of 4 from the Dodgers, split the series. Had some fireworks after the game today because Hector Neris was a little antsy. But I actually wrote something about that, PhillyInfluencer.com. So check that out if you're interested, a baseball fan. And that's all we got going on. We got Eagles training camp in 1 week. Are you ready?
As ready as I'm going to be.
That's right. That's right.
It's going to be a lot going on. It's going to be hectic in about a week's time. So life will be busy, as it typically is, but it will get hectic starting next week until hopefully February. Keep fingers crossed. Knock on all the wood you could possibly knock on.
That's right.
But yeah, that's what's going on right now. Just getting ready for training camp, you know. Just gearing up these last few days until the players report Wednesday, and our first practice is next Thursday, so a week from tonight as we record this on a Thursday night, as I said before. But enough about that. You're hearing about some pro wrestling on this podcast. We got a lot of pro wrestling to talk about. We're going to talk about the latest and greatest in the world of professional wrestling, as Lee Kubrick says in the top of the show. You might have heard that.
That's right.
In the top of the show. But
we're going to talk about
that's true. Is what kind of changes do we want? Paul Heyman, the executive director, is that the correct title, I believe?
Yeah.
Executive producer, whatever. Doesn't matter. He runs Raw. Eric Bischoff runs SmackDown. What kind of changes? Because we can talk about, we hope that they change this, we hope that they change that. But in an ideal world, they get full autonomy. What do we hope they actually change? Let's get specific here. Let's not just, you know, whine and cry. Let's get specific and give us some ideas of things we'd like to see change on Raw and SmackDown, especially with SmackDown, because they're going on Fox, going on network TV in 2 months. Almost 2 months. October, so a little over 2 months. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the weekend that was last weekend in pro wrestling, which involved three major shows, two of which happened in this very city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I know some people are like, well, you know, yeah, that's cool and all, but we don't care. No, we care because we're from Philadelphia and there was some big happenings there. Of course, I also went to the JR and Conrad Thompson show that was at Dave & Buster's down in South Philly. So I'll have some insight from that, you know, talk about that a little bit.
I'm interested to hear about that because I did not go. So looking forward to that.
I ponied up the money for once and the wrestling event, and that's what happened. So we're going to talk all about that over the course of episode 204. But before we get into that, we got to tell you where you can find us on these here interwebs. Of course, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, SoundCloud, Spotify, and the mothership, wildfireradio.com. We can find all 203 prior episodes of The Straight Shooters. You can also find them on SoundCloud, and you can also rate, review, and subscribe to us on all those different platforms, all those different podcast platforms out there. Please do it. We love and appreciate it, all the support. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio, where you can find some exclusive content via me and Nick. Like, we've done some live commentary. Last thing we did on live commentaries were a live commentary of the, what was that technically called?
Stars and Stripes Challenge.
Stars and Stripes Challenge, or what I would just call a body slam challenge. Yeah. Yokozuna and Lex Luger body slammed them. And they had some athletes out there. We've had exclusive episodes of Blue Meanie. We promise we're going to have Blue Meanie on the show again in the future. But in the meantime, you can listen to an awesome show we did with him on Patreon for the nominal fee of $1.99. That particular show is about the 2300 Arena. And of course, we've done a whole slew of other live commentaries and just different various forms of exclusive content on Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio, for the nominal fee of $1.99.
Yeah, we have 200. This is our 204th episode, but we've done a lot more than 204 episodes technically. So we got a lot of good stuff up on Patreon. So definitely check it out.
Check it out. Now, Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman. Eric Bischoff, as you've probably seen on social media, he's officially moved to Stanford. He's living in Wyoming, I believe.
Yeah. Well,
He's in Connecticut now. He is fully entrenched in WWE again, which is just crazy to think about. You know,
it really is.
Take a step back. It's like, wow, Eric Bischoff is really back in the fold and in a major role in a wrestling promotion. It's been a while, but he's back and better than ever, apparently. At least that's what WWE hopes. That's what we all hope, honestly, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Paul Heyman is back as well. He's never really left. He was always around. Obviously, he's on TV, and apparently he's been backstage in the creative role for a while. But now it's official, and it's got power, and it's got say, and it's got, you know, at least some autonomy, for as far as we know, overall, Bischoff over SmackDown. And, yeah, big things are happening in WWE. They're essentially, at this point, because this was announced a couple weeks ago, around this point, though, as we talk about it, they're just about getting officially started in those positions around this point. I mean, we don't really have an official start date for either one of these gentlemen, but they're settling into their roles as we speak. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it was, I think, reported that technically their first days would have been right after Extreme Rules, Monday and Tuesday. But, you know, I don't think we've really seen an official report or even a WWE statement that would have said exactly when they started in their executive director roles. Not that, you know, that we expected them to give out a statement. But, yeah, like, we still kind of don't know exactly how much, you know, like you said, autonomy that they have at this point, if any.
Well, they got to have some. I mean, they got those fancy titles for something. So yeah. It's really just a matter of can they get the ear of Vince McMahon, and do they? I'm sure they have to answer to him. That's what the precedent literally said. They only answer, they report straight to him. Mm-hmm. But are they going to be where everybody else has essentially been in WWE for a long time now, which is essentially catering to what he wants, or is it going to allow them the freedom to mold and shape the shows in their image, and or not necessarily their image, but in their vision, in their creative vision, I should say. So if that is the case, say an ideal, perfect world, they are allowed. Paul Heyman is allowed to shape Raw and what he wants it to be. Eric Bischoff is allowed to shape SmackDown and what he wants it to be. And we get two shows that feel distinctly different and fresh and all that. It's not Vince McMahon's fingerprints all over him. What specifically would we want Bischoff and Heyman to change about each brand? So Nick, it's time to think about it. Give me some things off the top of your head. You can either go for both brands or specific brands, you know, Bischoff or Heyman. What you got?
Yeah, I don't know how long we'll spend on each brand, but I want to focus on SmackDown right now just because it's, you know, it's a big time for that brand. You know, they're about to move to Fox in less than 3 months, and there's a lot to do. You know, just think about it. Eric Bischoff took this job just about with a little less than 3 months before their move to Fox. So he's probably already talked with Fox executives about it. I'm sure that, you know, they already have plans. It was reported by Dave Meltzer that during Fox had an official meeting with within their own like group and network where they were even talking about putting NXT on the Fox airwaves. So in my opinion, I don't need it. The reports are out there that Fox wants SmackDown to be like sports centric, you know, like make those it reports, feel more of a sporting event.
Those reports have been out there for months, and it seems like they always like kind of resurface like every week or so. And it's like, all right, we get it. We know, but we've heard this time and time again, but okay, go ahead. Right. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, and we get it. You know, they have football contracts, college football, NFL. I get it. Yeah. Even baseball. Which, by the way, I believe they said that SmackDown would be preempted only 1 week because of the World Series in October, which is kind of weird. But not really. You still got college football going on Saturdays, so maybe in October we will actually not see SmackDown, which would be interesting because it's been a while since we've seen Raw or SmackDown preempted, and I just kind of forget how that feels. But that's neither here nor there. My biggest thing, besides the sports presentation, because I almost already have that with AEW. Like, I don't need to see it in WWE because AEW is, like, different, and I like the sports presentation of the product, which is why I liked WCW so much in the late 90s. Like, it just felt – watching the old shows, it feels more like – Tony Schiavone was great at making it seem like a real sport. Me, personally – SmackDown, I need them to look as different as it can on TV than Raw. Like the LED screens, like I understand it might be easier for production and the crew and everything, but I mean, if you have two crews, that just works itself out. I know it's not that easy. I need a different set for SmackDown. I don't care. Bring the Fist back. It's nostalgic, but you can still update it. You can have like a different type of design, but SmackDown was known for that fist, like. It's what's it known for now? Like, what's Raw known for? They don't have any really thing that sets it apart other than their logo and
their colors
and the colors. So, and by the way, and this is also part of that, the LED ring apron, you know, like I don't see why we need that anymore. You know, NXT started it years ago. They started having the LED and now they don't have it anymore. So I don't understand that. Maybe because they moved up to the main roster. The LED ring aprons got called up to both Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-views.
And they're getting jobbed out like everybody else.
Yeah, it's just kind of annoying me. Like, the presentation, like, you can keep the LED ring aprons for one of the shows, but, like, make the other. And if you're going to make SmackDown, like, the sports-centric type show, you know, just have a regular wrestling ring. Like, bring back the silver ring aprons. That was badass back in like the 2003, 2004, 2005 before they went back to the black aprons, because the silver ones made it stand out even more.
That is true. That was like a very unique apron.
Yeah, and I didn't even like.
We haven't seen a silver apron since.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, you know, that's part of what I'm talking about when I say like it needs to look different and feel different. You know, the commentary tables, they're fine where they are. You know, like I don't care about that. Definitely need to retrain the commentators into not being like as annoying as they are. You know, it's not completely their fault. They're being told what to say and how to say it. And so hopefully, like if Bischoff really has this influence over the whole thing, he'll put less pressure on the commentators of like maybe give them bullet points. Just make sure you hit on this, this, and this instead of giving them exact lines to say that make it feel like when you're watching a match and you're hearing the commentary that it's just so staged and it's old, man. It's so annoying when you could just tell through your screen that what you're watching is basically like a play. When, you know, growing up, I know it was a different era, but even, you know, in the 2000s, you know, that even mid 2000s, there was a presentation on each show that was, to me, uniquely different. I want to bring back stables. Like, you have the club, but that's on Raw. Like, what stable is there on SmackDown? Like, we need, like, kind of, like, a group.
They tried to do them, like, what was it? The Riot Squad. What did they do while they were together? They didn't really have a purpose. They didn't really cut a bunch of promos. It wasn't like they had, like, a shared, like, thing about, like, Evolution. They all fit, like, a similar theme, a motif. And I guess maybe that's what made Riot Squad unique. They all look different. And I get that. And that's something, too. But even the Shield, as different as each guy were, they kind of looked the same. They kind of had the same, like, goal and, you know, like, the same, like, principles and vision, and it just some of those factions don't really feel that. The Club, hopefully they keep them together for a while too, not just break them up in 2 months. Yeah. You know, but yeah, I mean, when they put them together, they don't do much with them. Hopefully that changes. I hope that changes. Yeah,
and it's been a while since we've really seen like a stable of five or more wrestlers. You know, it's always been like, it seems like the last few years it's always been trios. You know, the New Day, like you said, the Shield, Riot Squad, Paige's group, Absolution, you know, that was three. You know, I guess they love three, but, you know, Shane McMahon, when he had Drew McIntyre in the Revival, that wasn't really a stable, but that was like, I thought maybe we were getting there. You could still add to the Club. You know, obviously rumors are out there about Finn Balor losing the Intercontinental title, but then there was a report that he asked for time off, so maybe he's not exactly going to join the Club. But that'd be great for him in his return. I don't know how you explain his jump from SmackDown to Raw if he were to do that, but they could do it. Hopefully that's gone by the time he returns, because I can't stand that, by the way. And that's another thing where, you know, just have another draft if you need to. Like, that's fine. Like, I don't mind that. We had drafts every single year back in when they started it. So just do it again, you know. Like, you can make this whole move to Fox for SmackDown seem big on both shows, and then we're gonna have a draft, and whoever gets drafted to SmackDown, maybe they're like happy. I don't know. You definitely shake things up. So stables are a big thing. Evolution was great. I really love that stable. Probably the last stable that I really thought, like you said, like when they put stables together, they haven't really done anything. I think Evolution was really the last WWE stable to actually do something. You know, like they made everyone feel important. Randy Orton became a star, I think, because of that group, even though when they turned him face a little early, he kind of, you know, fell a little bit. But he regained after his feud with The Undertaker. I think he got back on track. Batista obviously became a huge star, and I think they built that perfectly. It's probably what they should have done with Randy Orton instead of the hotshot. Triple H and Ric Flair, that whole dynamic was great. So you had the legend of yesterday, the legend of today, and two legends of tomorrow type of thing in that group. So we haven't seen a group that's really had like that type of character development. And I think Evolution disbanded, 2005? So it's been over 10 years, almost 15 years now, where we haven't had a group feel like that, at least in WWE. You know, I'm talking strictly WWE. Like, I really liked the Bullet Club, but that's not where we're at right now in terms of what we're talking about. So, you know, if Bischoff can work some magic, I don't know how much he's involved in creative. Start, and we only need, like, one group to start off, like one group, and I think I'm feeling this way because we just went past the anniversary of Canadian Stampede. I watched it again. It's been on a lot of podcasts recently, and just the Hart Foundation was one of the best groups of the 90s, and that five-man group with Pillman, Bulldog, Owen Hart, Bret Hart, and Jim Neidhart, you know, that was great. So I think it's part of its nostalgia. Like, I want to see that now, but I think they can make it work. And I think if you have a stable, it could be heels. I think it should be heels, actually. Then you could really start building up baby faces too. You know, like, it's just, we haven't seen that in so long. And I think it's time for a paradigm shift in terms of, you know, the philosophy on not just stables, but tag teams too. You could put a tag team in a stable and start rebuilding the tag team division. Now, I don't know if that's going to be up to Vince or if he's going to leave that up to Heyman and Bischoff, but definitely tag team wrestling is still loved in 2019. I don't know how much money it makes on the bottom line for WWE. Is that why they don't invest in tag teams? But you know, just stuff like that. I need to see like a philosophy change at the very least on SmackDown. And that's why I think Eric Bischoff was great, even though he admitted on a recent podcast that he's not familiar with modern wrestling. So he's got to get acclimated to that. But I hope it doesn't mean that he'll be creatively stifled if he does have say in the creative process. That's yet to be seen. But I definitely think that SmackDown will become the number one show based on the move to Fox. That's just my gut feeling right now. And they definitely have to present it so much differently than they are now and so much differently than Raw.
Well, I kind of just made a list here of stuff I would like for each show to kind of do and for both shows to do that I would like to see differently. So I'll start with SmackDown. And to your point, you said like the sports-like presentation. We've seen a bunch of stories in the last couple months that, oh yeah, this is what Fox wants. This is what Fox wants. And I think for them, it makes total sense. So SmackDown should acquiesce and have a more sports-like presentation. That's something they should definitely do. If you're Fox and you've got, like you said, we said earlier, you got the NFL. Fox, I believe, had the Super Bowl this year. So you got the NFL and the Super Bowl in this coming season. You got Major League Baseball, you get the World Series every year. You got NASCAR, and they had UFC, but what else? They got some college football that comes on there, some Big 12 games, some Pac-12 games. So if you have all these different types of, you know, sports that have this type of presentation, it would look so weird to have what WWE can go to on a weekly basis. Like, it just wouldn't fit to me, everything else they have. Maybe Fox, I just don't see Fox wanting that.
No, like the Revival shaving their back, like those type of things are not going to be on SmackDown. At least I hope so. I hope not.
Right. I mean, the only comedic thing that I would want to see on either show is a 24/7 title. Because that's funny.
Yeah.
But really, in my opinion, more sports orientated, less talking, like in-ring promo or backstage even. Less of that, more action. Your announcers have to call the action. And I guess that goes with both shows. They cannot just tell backstory when a guy's getting punched in the face, right? That's one thing yeah. Jim Ross talked about at his live show this past weekend in Philly. And I've said it on the show before. We've said it on the show before. And, you know, JR is just echoing it. So, of course, he's preaching to me. I'm the choir here. Get everybody in line with this type of presentation. I'm always a proponent, and I think AEW is apparently going to do this when they start the weekly show, but rankings, I've talked about it for years. I would love to see rankings. If SmackDown's going to be the most sports-oriented show, like real sports, and Raw maybe not so much, I would prefer it to be on both shows. But let's say if I had to choose one, SmackDown to me would be that particular brand to have rankings. It would look kind of weird for one show to have them and the other show not to have them, but I think it definitely fits for SmackDown if they're going this direction. It also means less comedy, which is kind of be weird because you get the New Day on SmackDown primarily, even though they kind of jump from show to show, but they're currently the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, and the WWE Champion is the top title on SmackDown. So maybe they move to a different show, I don't know, or maybe they tweak their thing, or they can still be kind of funny, but once they get in the ring, it's serious. It's all kind of done within a serious way. Maybe there's a way to do that without completely changing who New Day is. Because that's still a money-making gimmick, money-making act that you don't necessarily want to just get rid of and change completely. But as far as Raw, to me, I see Raw as the more gritty show. Like, well, sports presentation doesn't have to be gritty. You know what I'm saying? You don't watch baseball games and think, oh, this is such a gritty presentation. You know, you don't watch NASCAR and think that at all. But I think Raw could be that. It's in the title, it's called Raw. So you have that more of a gritty Raw feel to it. I think Paul Heyman's the perfect person for that. He don't have to necessarily take it back to ECW. I don't think you should do that on TV.
Nope.
you don't have to take it back to the Attitude Era. Even though they're kind of slipping stuff in. Like, oh, Natalya cursed this week. Which is like, I don't need cursing to make it feel more authentic. To make it feel more gritty or adult-oriented. You don't have to curse. You know, you have to shoehorn a curse word in to maybe go, like, it's only a wow factor because we don't hear it too often. But if we start hearing it every week, you lessen the impact. And again, the law of diminishing returns. So you don't want to do that all the time. To me, like I said, it's not necessary for me. What I really would like to see, though, are characters who are angry, who have an attitude, who aren't out there smiling all the time. They're out there to whoop somebody's ass. Whereas, you know, you got SmackDown, it's more sports-like. They keep a track of wins and losses, and they're trying to win. On Raw, you got a lot of personal grudges. Of course, you're going to have personal grudges on SmackDown. That's pro wrestling. You don't have pro wrestling without personal issues. But it's more not just the action in the ring, but it's also the ancillary stuff that comes with it. That's how I defer the two shows. So, but you don't have to go to ECW and Attitude Era where you have stories about chicks getting pregnant or choppy, choppy pee-pee. You don't have to go that route, but kind of similar to SmackDown, but a little, just obviously you tweak it to make it feel different. Obviously, I echo your sentiment. You want each show to look different. You want each show to feel different from a technical standpoint, to how they produce the shows. So don't just give me the same old, oh, what a big dive by Jimmy Uso. Will so-and-so recover? We'll be back after this. And it's that same formulaic thing. We're done. I'm done with that because we can call it like the back of our hands. I could just my eyes closed, not watching the show, but I can listen to the commentary and know up there about to go to commercial because you could tell when they raise the voice a little bit that tone in their voice kind of comes up and will they recover? Oh, so and so's in trouble. Will they get bounced back? Like the tide of the match is starting to change. And, and if you're watching it, you know on what kind of moves they're going to go into commercial break with is the big dodge on the outside or something like that. So
and then they all go, if there's a tag team match, they're all like in a stare down outside the ring. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, what's going to be the next step? Like that's
suddenly not so hitting each lame. Other. The referee is stopping all four people from touching each other. They just run up and like stop. And suddenly they don't want to fight each other anymore. Like it's just a weird thing that you see all the time, though. That's a problem. If you saw it once every blue moon, maybe it wouldn't really care. But we see it so much, it's like, all right, this is kind of ridiculous. Something I would like to see for each show, besides the stuff I just said, can we get rid of the tag titles? I hate those titles. I hate them so much.
Like for new titles or just completely, you mean?
Just the tag titles. The other titles, I really don't have an issue with. But the thing is, the Universal title, outside of the WWE logo, it's different. It's a different looking title. Obviously, the design is similar, but one is bright red, the other one is black. Yeah. U.S. and Intercontinental titles look completely different. Tag titles look virtually the same, except one strap is red, the other strap is blue. And I understand it's pretty much the same thing with the WWE titles, but to me, I don't mind the way those titles look. Those tag titles, I hate them. Get rid of them and let Bischoff and Heyman create their own unique titles. So the SmackDown titles look nothing like the Raw titles. That's the easy way to differentiate them. They're probably not going to change the WWE titles, but change the tag titles to wherever they want them to be. Please, just something for me.
Yeah.
Just for
me. Well, you know, do you remember when they had like the World Tag Team titles on Raw? And they looked really cool. Like the globe was red, actually, and they actually looked different.
Yeah.
And it was like teams like La Resistance held them.
Yeah, Cade and Murdoch or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like those were really sharp. I really liked them.
I agree.
And then SmackDown in 02 during the brand split, they got their own titles, the WWE tag team titles, and it kind of looked like the old school titles, kind of improved a little bit. But yeah, like the background kind of looked the same. They didn't have world in red on the front. So like bring back either of those or both of them and just put them, like, I don't understand. Like, you know, it's funny to me, Xavier Woods said this week that the titles were white gold or something like that. I guess he wanted to put silver, I guess.
Those are silver, terrible looking titles.
So that actually made me laugh, and that it was funny to me. But I'm on board with that. You know, like those were, I think, the best set of tag titles they had, you know, back after the brand split.
When they had two, when they had two sets. Yeah, I guess I agree with that. Yeah.
And their tag teams were better. Raw actually had the lackluster tag division. SmackDown, they started out hot. You know, they had Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle as the tag team champions. And the tag team titles actually meant something.
They actually threw some teams together to make them mean something. Like you said, Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle were never a tag team.
Right.
And so they were.
And they put a storyline behind it, too. They put a whole entire storyline. It made sense of why they were tagging begrudgingly. You know, they were never friends. And then they wound up costing themselves the tag team titles because they were mad at each other. You know, it made sense. And that's what I'm hoping.
But they also put Edge and Rey Mysterio together, like hodgepodge team, but two big names, and they made magic. I'm not a fan of hodgepodge teams typically, but SmackDown didn't really have a choice because they didn't have a deep tag team division.
Right.
But they put some teams together, and then they had, of course, Los Guerreros, who's you know, not only a traditional tag team, like they team together a lot, but they, of course, have family members, and it just fit. Okay, well, they work well together. They know each other. They're family. Eddie's literally Chavo's uncle, so put them together, Los Guerreros, and they were a great act as a tag team. So, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, Doug and Danny Basham, man. I remember that.
Danny Basham. I do remember them.
That's when it kind of like started trailing off a little bit.
Jim Cornette loved the Bashams, and I know he did because he talked about them on this podcast a lot. How he had him in OVW and WWE ruined him, which is probably true. Their WWE run was nothing to go crazy about. Sorry, they were probably great.
Do you remember Deuce and Domino? You know, they were hell of a tag team champs. Hopefully we don't ever go down that road again. They had some good tag teams come up, but then they just kind of like London and Kendrick. That was a good. That was like their really last good SmackDown tag.
They did nothing with them, and it just was there.
That's true.
Like the tag champs, like 8-9 months, and it did nothing.
You're absolutely Kendrick right. And, Eminem, that was a good tag team.
But yeah, it was.
At that point, you're just kind of like, at this, like, where, what do the tag team titles mean? Like, it definitely lost its luster as the years progressed. And that's what I'm hoping on Raw and SmackDown, you know, once this shift happens, because I feel like Raw is going to change too. It's not just going to be SmackDown that changes, and Raw might change even before SmackDown moves to Fox. You know, like, I don't know when the change is going to take place, but I just have a hope. You know, it's a deep hope
optimism.
That may change. This
eternal optimism about WWE and pro wrestling as a whole, because we love this so much. We would love it to have it. I mean, look, I was never a big fan of the brand split when it first happened again in 2016, because I knew it would get to this point where we are now, where they just throw all the rules out. They don't give a damn. And the shows don't feel different. And, you know, everything that we thought was going to happen pretty much happened. This is what we're living into now. And people hate it because there's no rules. If you, like, why? Why set all this up just to tear it all down for no reason? Like, my hope is that having Heyman and having Bischoff at least helps differentiate them. Hopefully, if Vince McMahon fully buys in to what they're doing, we get at least that. And I trust a guy like Heyman to have a creative vision, and if Vince lets him do what he wants to do, those shows could at least be good. It's going to be tough with 3 hours. Heyman's never had to really run a 3-hour show before, and it's always tough. That's always going to be a detriment to the show, regardless. Bischoff, I'm not totally sure about what he brings creatively. I know he has experience with TV execs. He has his own production company. He's doing it with TNA and WCW. So he has a lot of TV experience, obviously. But from a creative standpoint, I mean, he had a run in WCW where him and his team was doing some good stuff. And you can blame Bischoff, you can blame Russo, you can blame whoever. The wheels fell off at a certain point. And everything went to, you know, down the crapper. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. You know?
Yeah, you know what I think about, you know, Bischoff being back? It's funny because on his podcast, he always talks about having the answer to the Turner executives and all that. And there was always somebody he had to answer to. Like, even though he was president of WCW, he couldn't just do whatever he wanted. And even creatively, you know, he had to change things. It's not going to be too different now because he's going to have to answer to Fox. I don't believe that WWE is going to have complete autonomy over what is presented on Fox. I feel like Fox is going to have a big hand to do with what we see on TV. And I'm not talking about, like, no, you have to push this guy, you have to push that guy. I'm talking about, you know, like, presentation, the sport aspect that we talked about earlier. I don't necessarily think that they're going to be like, you need to make Roman Reigns your number one champion, and he's got to be champion for at least a year or stuff like that. I don't think that's going to happen. But I don't think I necessarily would be surprised. They're still important. And if somebody's at the top and the ratings are falling, I'm sure Fox would be like, hey, like, you got to make a change or something like that. And I don't know what their contract looks like. I don't know if Fox can change anything in the middle of the show. Like, 2 years in, can they move SmackDown to FS1? You know, like, I don't know, you know, and I don't think we can definitely count that out, but right now, I don't see that happening. So I'm just interested in as to how much Fox will have say in what goes on. And another thing is match lengths. If we're not having wrestling during commercial breaks, and I don't know if that's a Fox edict, like we heard Vince McMahon wanted Raw and SmackDown to not have wrestling during commercial breaks again, but we've seen it here and there in the last few weeks.
Yeah, because two out of three falls matches out of nowhere. That's how they got around it.
Yeah, but if, you know, you put so much into a two-hour show every week, will we see a lot of short matches now and to try and get as many people on the show every week? Or are we going to see the same amount of length matches? It's not a three-hour product. We see a lot of long matches on Raw because of that. So I'm hoping we don't go back to Attitude Era-style matches where they last like 2 minutes and 50 seconds and, you know, 4 minutes and 30 seconds the next segment. Like, I want to see an actual, you know, wrestling match. You know, like, I think a commercial break is fine during a wrestling match. It's the way it's always set up. You know, like, all you need is like a 5-second window while they're still in the ring. You don't need a break. You don't need them on the outside and put the camera in their face when they're on the ground. Just be like, all right, we'll be back after this commercial break. If the match ends during the commercial break, we'll show you. Like, Tony Schiavone used to be a pro at that. That's why everything I watched in WCW, always seemed to make sense because they always explained it. I don't hate commercial breaks during wrestling matches. It's about how it's presented to us that really annoys the hell out of me. And it's WWE's fault because they're the ones that almost always do it. And they're the ones that had, like you said, you could always tell when a commercial break's coming, even if you close your eyes and you just have the commentary on. And even if you mute the commentary and you watch it, you could tell when a commercial break's coming. So
that's bad.
That needs to change on both shows, but most notably SmackDown. It needs to change.
Well, at least SmackDown has the picture-in-picture thing. I'll let them slide for that.
Isn't that an NBC Universal thing, though? I don't know if they'll have that on Fox.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe. They only do it on one show on NBC Universal right now. They don't even do it on both shows, which I don't know why they wouldn't.
Seriously.
Like, if you're going to, like, that'd be like, I guess, can you imagine going to a commercial during a pitch in a baseball game, like during a bat, or like in even in between that bats? Like, wait a minute, somebody else come
right?
Bat. Like,
if this guy gets a hit, we'll show you when we come back. Like,
it just, yeah, exactly. Somebody hits a home run, we'll show you the replay. Like, bruh. Yeah. I want to see that home run. So, like, it just, I understand they got to have commercial. We've talked about this at length so many times, but I understand they got to pay bills. So, you got to work around it. You got to work around it, not cut off your matches. Or if you're going to do that, at least do the picture in picture function. And at least that's how you work around it. Because that's what NASCAR races do. Because there's no timeouts in NASCAR. That's what soccer matches don't really don't even have commercials. You just watch it straight through for the most part. They don't have commercials until halftime.
Yep.
They do have commercials, they'll do the picture in picture type of thing. It's like a 45-second commercial. Even NFL games have the, like, oh, we'll be back in 30 seconds. I think they started that last season.
Yeah.
Where they have like a 30-second little quick break, you know, before, like, if there's a touchdown and they need to kick the extra point, they won't go to a hard, like, a long break. They'll just go to that 45-second thing and then kickoffs right back after that. It's like a quick turnaround or a punt. That's another time to do it, too, after a punt, something like that. So, you know, stuff like that. But I'm just hoping...
It's little stuff, but it adds up to the viewing experience.
It really does. Like I said, I'm just hoping that my vision of each show, Raw, a little more gritty, a little more adult orientated, which fits Paul Heyman and his background. But SmackDown, a little more sportsy, realistically sportsy. That's terrible verbiage, but you know, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which fits Fox, right? Because that's, I mean, they're a national television station. It's broadcast television. They're not talking about cable. They're talking about broadcast television with a lot of other sports properties on its airwaves. I ran down the laundry list of them earlier. SmackDown would stick out like a sore thumb if they didn't fit kind of that sports mold that Fox Sports is already presenting. That's how I envision each show. Any final thoughts before we move on to the wrestling of last weekend?
I really would love to see an opening for SmackDown that incorporates all the sports. Like, I want to see NFL. I want to see NFL players on the SmackDown intro. It'd be hilarious.
Okay.
You're not feeling it, huh?
I don't. What?
There's a report
Roman Reigns
that
punching out a linebacker in the NFL intro.
Dude, like, that'd be awesome. It'd be funny
if he was the robot that Fox Sports has, like in between. You know that robot they have.
Yes.
It's Roman Reigns punching out the robot or something like that. That'd be awesome.
Yes. I want to see. And I read a report earlier today that WWE might hire like a tour bus or something. Or it might have been Fox. Tour bus for the wrestlers to, you know, when they're going around, they'll do like spots.
Say
on the
what?
Show. That's my fault. It's my fault for not remembering exactly what it said. I didn't read it all the way through, but it was either WWE was going to hire a tour bus for their talent, stopping at Fox things, or it was Fox. So imagine seeing, you know, FS1 on Undisputed in the morning before a WWE pay per view the Friday morning.
I'm sure the Miz would be on there yelling at somebody.
It's more ancillary things that I'm looking forward to because you don't see that. You see it on ESPN a little bit, but I think it's going to be a lot more.
Yeah,
because Fox has, you know, the ability to put, you know, FS1, you know, there's a studio show apparently that's going to happen every week too. And we're not talking about NXT. NXT might go head to head with AEW. That's another thing that is an ancillary part of this deal. And we're not even like, you know, this is basically just about SmackDown and Raw. So imagine that, you know, like, I wonder how much that's going to change the presentation of SmackDown on Friday nights, all their ancillary things. I don't think much. But I'm thinking more like how Mania was on Saturday mornings, how Livewire was. Like, if they go that route with the studio show, and is it just highlights, or are they going to highlight things that we don't see? Like WWE's YouTube channel, they upload things that we don't necessarily see all the time on the TV shows. They've used social media for that. So I think the more things that happen on SmackDown, we're going to see more of it on TV instead of having to rely on, you know, like social media to see a match being set up Tuesday afternoon. And we didn't even know it because we didn't like see it on Twitter or something. I think we're going to see more of that play out on TV than social media.
Well, we'll see. You know, you're going to see like The Miz on like Speak for Yourself or First Things First or Undisputed. And then you'll get like an AJ Styles, the big Georgia Bulldogs fan. He'll be on the college football stuff. Oh, and you might get Roman Reigns on the NFL stuff because, you know, he's the biggest name or the biggest name WWE thinks he's the biggest name. And he'll be on there talking about his pro football career. He did play in the CFL. And I don't think he played in the NFL at all. But he had a little cup of coffee in the CFL once upon a time. So, you know, you're going to see that at some point. It's just, you know what's coming, though, when they're going to do like an NFL game or a baseball game, postseason game, where they're going to promote SmackDown.
Yeah.
Coming this fall. Yeah, Joe. I can hear Joe Buck right now. Coming this fall, SmackDown. See the top stars from WWE on the Fox Sports' latest hit, SmackDown.
And then you'll have like a little banner between the commentators trying to make like a joke about it or something.
Because you saw it with AEW and Marv Albert. Like Chris Jericho and Kofi Kingston and Jericho. Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, and a guy named Samoa Joe, and Charlotte. Did you know she was Ric Flair's daughter? I loved Ric Flair when I was a kid. Man, he would go woo all the time. I loved that guy.
You know, it's interesting how they'll plug a pay-per-view and be like, make sure you watch on the WWE Network Sunday night. But
I don't know if they'll do that because that's got nothing to do with them.
You don't think they will? They're the go-home show, though, and they're even closer to the pay-per-view than they are on Tuesday.
They'll do it on SmackDown, but they won't do it on like a NFL game. That's got nothing with WWE Network stuff. Fox.
I think they will because they don't have the Sunday night game. So
it ain't got nothing to do with Fox.
Their pay-per-views are Sunday night. So
How much money is Fox making off of people going to WWE Network? Not 1 cent.
We might see that.
Trust me. Working for the Eagles, we ain't benefiting from it. We ain't talking about it. All right. And I'm sure Fox, are they making money off of WWE Network? No. And
maybe every WWE Network, they get like 10 cents.
WWE would have to pay for that spot.
Yeah, so then they'd be making money off it.
Yeah, that's the only way. It's not like it's just part of the deal they already have. And then, I'm going to push. Right. No, that's extra money. You know, that's money that can go to another company or whatever. That's viable time on their airwaves. They're not going
to
do that.
You know what needs to happen?
Yes.
You know what needs to happen? Survivor Series on Fox Thanksgiving Eve.
Ooh, that's not going to happen.
It's not, but imagine that, man.
Not going to happen.
Because you have the Thanksgiving games. Fox would make a million jillion dollars.
On Fox, Starcade. Mm. Boom. Dang, it's a house show. Make Starcade like a network television special.
That's usually a Saturday, right? It's been on a Saturday, right?
Why not? Make it a network.
That's college football season. Oh.
Saturday night, man. The one weekend you don't have a Big 12 game. I don't know. Mm. Or a Pac-12 game. Something.
What about the Friday after Thanksgiving? Is there any? I don't know how their programming goes down that way if they have football on that Friday, college football.
Right. Get into bowl season, you're getting close to it around like after Thanksgiving. Or conference championship. Yeah. So
makes me wonder, like SmackDown's obviously Friday night, but when they're preempted, why not do like a Saturday night's main event or something? Like Friday.
It won't be called Saturday night's main event because
I think
NBC owns that.
Yeah. So but it's something interesting, you know, like
property.
I think it'll definitely be different. You know, like we might see things that we haven't seen in a long time.
I hope.
The studio show, like the only thing they've had recently is on the WWE Network this week in WWE, and I don't even watch it. And like I should because it reminds me of, you know, those Saturday morning shows. But I mean, with the product now, like I don't want to even subject myself to a half hour of a recap show of that. So that's why we need it to be different. We need SmackDown. At the very least, SmackDown needs to be different. Raw, if it wants to stay the way it is, I don't care. I just need one brand to make me feel like I'm not an idiot.
That'd be nice, right?
Yeah.
Don't make me feel like an idiot.
Please don't.
You know, that's all we need.
That's why I watch a lot of the old school stuff on WWE, man. WWE Network. A lot of the old WCW stuff, 97 WWF. I've been kind of on a tour watching a lot of those 97 Raws and those pay-per-views, and it was obviously that shift to the more adult-oriented thing, storylines, and it was just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, look, like you said, just be different. Just be different. But It's just, we can go on and on about this, how we, what we want from these shows. But I'm glad we did talk about it, specific things that we kind of wanted from each show, instead of just saying, be different, you know, and be better. No, like, let's get into particulars here, some details, and looks and crannies, nitty gritty, so to speak. But let's transition away from Bischoff and Heyman to last weekend, when we had, like I said, three big wrestling shows, two of which were here in Philly, and a wrestling event that was here in Philly. I, along with my homeboy Tommy Rowan, shout out to Tommy Rowan, works at Philly, Inquire.com, my bad. You know, we won't get into that. But my man Tommy Rowan, and we went to, it was at Dave & Buster's down here in South Philly off of, was it Delaware Ave, I believe. Uh-huh. And we went and saw, they had a room set up in Dave & Buster's. Jim Ross and Conrad had a table, and there was some chairs, and people were just packed that, not really packed the room, but they, you know, we sat in the room. It was a little less people than I expected there for Conrad and Jim Ross. But, you know, it was still a good crowd. And it was essentially like a, I would say, two and a half hour Q&A. Like, it wasn't really like a... Were you at Bruce Pritchard's show a couple years ago here?
Yeah, we went together.
We did? I know Tommy was there. So we and you went together? Okay.
We went after NXT, man.
Oh, no. I was talking about the one that they had. Not that 2300 Arena one. They had one at TLA, too.
No, I did not. Before that. No, I did not.
Okay, so you didn't go to the TLA one on South Street. You went to the 20. Yeah, that. No, of course.
Gotcha.
How can I forget
that?
So that
was... Together. When was that? Before the
that
Rumble?
That was before... No, that was before Battleground in
2016. Oh. Yeah, I don't know why I wouldn't have gone then. Because I went to Battleground, but maybe I was busy. Was it Saturday? That Saturday night?
No, it was the day of. It was the day before. It was the day of Battleground.
Oh, yeah, probably. Did I? No, the TLA, I never went. No. Yeah. I did not go there. Wow.
Well, yeah. Me and Tommy Rowan went to that show, too. But point is that Bruce Pritchard puts on, like, a show. Like, he has, like, different acts and stuff like that, different things that they actually come with content they want to do. With JR, it was just, like, a Q&A. Like, hey, all right, well, you guys can ask us anything. You know, nothing's really off limits. And it wasn't, like, it was bad. It was, like, really fun. I just thought it would be more, like, set up things that they would do. But, hey, whatever. The Q&A was fun, though. I feel like Jim Ross, he loves to talk about wrestling. You get to talk a lot about wrestling. And, you know, I enjoyed it, and I came away happy. He talked about, I know some of the reports came out too about like how Vince McMahon invited him. I don't know if that came out of the Jacksonville show they did or the Philly show, either one. He probably said the same thing in Jacksonville the night before. But, excuse me, you know, Vince McMahon apparently invited him to the Raw reunion show, which is like, Vince, he works for AEW. Why? Yeah. What are you doing?
and he knew that. And he was probably just like, maybe they'll give him this night off. I don't know. Maybe that was his mind, because who the hell knows what Vince is thinking, man. Part of me wants to get in his mind sometimes, but then like the rest of me, which is like 99.9% of me, does not want to know what he's like thinking, because just imagine how much he's got going on in his head. I just do not want to. So maybe he forgot Jim Ross worked for AEW.
Maybe. It's not outside of the realm of possibility. And Jim Ross also talked about, he mentioned the commentary team at AEW, Alex Marvez, Excalibur, and others, and he talked about how they're going to get better. Like, he acknowledges that they're not where they need to be at the moment, because I know they got some criticism about Fight for the Fallen and how they work together on that show, but he, you know, he essentially acknowledges that, hey, we, you know, we haven't hit our stride. It's literally, and he's not wrong, it's only their third show together as a unit. I mean, it's one thing, all of them might be talented individually, and he talked about it. Like, Marvez isn't really a TV guy, he's a radio guy, so he's adjusting to that. Excalibur is getting used to working with two other people, where he typically did shows either by himself or with one other person. And Jim Ross, the same thing. He doesn't really like three-man booths, and he's working with people he's never worked with before. So, and they don't, they're trying to figure out their established roles, like who's the play-by-play, who's the color, which, in my opinion, I agree. You got to have those established roles. It's like, if you watch Sunday Night Football, Al Michaels is the play-by-play, Chris Collinsworth is the color commentator. And it's only a two-man booth, which is, to me, what works best. And you see it all across sports, but for whatever reason, wrestling, they gotta have three people. I don't understand it. I don't know why WWE does it, and I don't know why AEW has like copied that for some reason. You don't need three people in the booth. Play-by-play, color, it works, it's perfectly fine. But there's clear defined roles. And like I said, let's go back to Al Michaels. He drives the bus, he drives the car, and Chris Collinsworth jumps in with his expertise, gets out the way, and lets Al Michaels do his thing. And you know, apparently AEW, they're still trying to figure out those roles. Jim Ross is the main play-by-play guy. I guess that's Caliber, who essentially does play-by-play as well. He calls moves, and he's, you know, his inflections are going up and down like a play-by-play person, but he's not necessarily the lead play-by-play guy. And then, yeah, Alex Marvez, who is still adjusting to the role. He's just kind of there right now. He's not, he's struggling, to be honest with you, to be perfectly...
And he wasn't even at Fyter Fest. He wasn't doing commentary there, so... he was back at Fight for the Fallen, but a lot of people didn't take kindly to Alex Marvez, especially on Twitter. Good friend of the show, Mike Kay, definitely has a good relationship with him. So, like, he's saying, like, no one works harder than Alex. So I do hope he improves. I do hope that he finds a spot on that commentary team, because I understand the reasoning on the surface for needing Jim Ross there, but I don't think he needs to be the main guy. He could do what he did when he was with Vince and Jerry Lawler in like 97 before Vince McMahon stepped away from, you know, the announce booth. Like, he was really good in that role. You know, like, Jim Ross doesn't need to be the lead guy. I think Excalibur is great. So I would hope that he gets more opportunity at being the lead guy than anyone else.
Well, I mean, time will tell. I mean, I'm sure that's what's going to happen in the future. You know, is that Jim Ross, and he said it at this one man at the show that they had, that he's essentially trying to, before he's done with, you know, the business, he wants to make Excalibur a better announcer. Like, that's one of his goals in AEW, to make Excalibur better. And you, I mean, say what you want about JR. I don't know if you can learn from a better person than JR. Like, he's done wrestling for a long time. Don't forget, he called Falcons games on radio back in the early 90s when the Georgia Dome first opened, and he was living in Atlanta. So he's done football. Of course, he did XFL games too, which we won't talk about that. Him and Jesse the Body Ventura teaming up. And he had King with him too, which is just weird.
Yeah, like, yeah, that cracked me up.
That was so weird. Like, King being color commentator for football games. All right. But, you know, he knows what he's like. Jim Ross knows announcing, not just wrestling announcing. He knows what it takes to be a good television announcer, period, across any sport or platform. He knows what he's doing. So for Excalibur, this is a great opportunity. Obviously, you get the great opportunity to perform on a large platform that AEW is giving him, whether it's these couple of shows they've had already with Double or Nothing, Fight for the Fallen, Fyter Fest, and then eventually All Out, or once October hits, their television show kicks in and they're on TNT every single week. So it's a great opportunity for him from that standpoint, and it's a great opportunity to sit under the learning tree of Jim Ross. So they're still working out the kinks, apparently. And he's, you know, they said they're going to watch all their shows. They do watch all the shows after the fact and critique themselves and whatnot. So I thought that was interesting. And him essentially acknowledging, like, hey, we don't have it all there yet, but we're working at it. We're going to eventually get there, hopefully.
You know, what I want to ask you about Jim Ross, like, he's been getting a lot of blowback recently. Not just for his AEW stuff, but, you know, that New Japan show, the first New Japan show in the U.S. last year, or it might have been 2 years ago now. You know, it just seemed like he was messing up stuff, and everyone was critiquing him on his preparedness. It just didn't seem like he was prepared or whatever, and that seemed to me to be the first time a lot of the public opinion, at least on social media, of Jim Ross started shifting. And it was not that long after his wife passed away either. Tragic passing too, killed, you know, like on the road. So I want, in your opinion, you know, like, you've watched the shows, you've heard him on commentary. Is it time for him to stop, step down and maybe do stuff behind the scenes and help on the announcers? Or do you think that, you know, I don't know what else he said at a show. Maybe there was something said at a show that you found interesting in terms of, you know, no, he's still like at the top of his game in terms of preparedness, you know, like, because there's some things that he said that even I'm just like, what is he talking about? Like, but I understand, like, it's probably hard for him even after the passing of his wife, the way he talked about it. Like, I didn't want to jump right down his throat. I didn't want to, like, turn on him as quickly. But some of the things he's been saying, like the way he talks about women, you know, like, that's just kind of weird. You know, like, it doesn't belong in our society at this point where, oh, that's, you know, you won't find her making sandwiches in the kitchen type of line that he said he said at a Fyter Fest or Double or Nothing. I don't remember. So do you think that he's kind of, he should be on his way out in terms of commentary and maybe helping more behind the scenes? Or do you think just his mere presence at the commentating booth is needed, especially for guys like Excalibur and Alex Marvez.
See, here's the thing about Jim Ross, in that he can still get the job done. Is he as good as he used to be? No. But, you know, he's 67 years old. Of course, he's not going to be quite as good as he used to be. But, I mean, hey, guys like Vern Lundquist were good until pretty much the very end. I mean, Vern Lundquist just retired like a year or two ago, and he was great until he's retired. So maybe that's not an excuse. Either way, I still like Jim Ross. Maybe it's just the nostalgia in me. Maybe because, you know, I've interviewed him multiple times.
Yeah.
I generally like
talking to him. He's been on our show, too.
Right, been on Straight Shooters, a friend of the show, technically. I always like talking to Jim Ross, like personally, one-on-one when it comes to an interview. Like, he's a great interview. He was great at the shows last Sunday. So he can be a bit of a player coach, you know. The thing is, like, it does get to a point where it's like any athlete or something like that. Like, you may not be able to perform anymore the way you used to, but you still got knowledge. You can still teach it. You can still coach it. Right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what he's transitioning to eventually. But I still like, I mean, the thing about JR too is that when he brings name recognition to your broadcast. He brings a competence to your broadcast. He brings, trust. People see that, see Jim Ross. They know, okay, this is what I'm looking for. It brings credibility to your broadcast team. If they just saw Alex Marvez and Excalibur, guy with a mask, people are like, what the hell is this? Like, I mean, sure, I guess they could get to know them, but then you see Jim Ross, and anyone, whether you're a diehard wrestling fan or you're just a guy who's, you know, surfing through channels, you instantly recognize his face, you instantly recognize his voice, you've heard it, whether you're a lapsed wrestling fan and you stop wrestling watching over the years, or you're just on social media and you hear everybody uses his King of the Ring 98 call when Mick Foley went through the table, you're that, my god, like, I see that probably once a week. So he brings credibility to your broadcast, so he's still an asset in that respect. And I think having announcers with credibility is very important. People got to believe in your announcers, that they're professional, that they're good at what they do. So, like I said, if he wasn't there, I think it would hurt AEW's credibility from an announcer standpoint. Him being there, he's still got some talent. Yeah, is he as good as he used to be? No, but he still can get the job done. He's still good at what he does. And, like, he's completely clueless out there. And he brings credibility to not just the product, but also to the people he's working with, to Alex Marvez and an Excalibur. If Jim Ross is working with Excalibur, he, you know, that lends credence to Excalibur as an announcer. Yeah, he's a guy wearing the mask, but Jim Ross is working with him, so he must be good. You know, it's kind of giving him the rub almost. And like I said, say what you want about Jim Ross and what he is today, he's still a legend in the industry. And he's still a known guy throughout, you know, the entertainment business. People know who Jim Ross is. And like I said, that voice and that face is universally recognized. Mm-hmm. So that's what Jim Ross brings to the table in 2019. Now, will he eventually start transitioning away? I think so. You know, from TV and stuff like that, I think so. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he is getting up in age. But he likes to work, man. He likes being out there. He likes doing his thing. If he feels as though he can still do it, I think he's going to keep doing it. And he likes getting paid by AEW. Apparently, they're paying him a ton of money. Yeah. So I don't think he's going away anytime soon.
I mean, I think that's part of the reason he left WWE. He said, hey, they didn't want me on commentary doing anything. And he was just under contract for 2 years to call, like, what do you do, one match, the Reigns Undertaker. And then I think he was on old school Raw.
He did NXT TakeOver one year. I remember he did the Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne match.
Right, yep.
Which was a classic. So, Jim Ross called a great match. Yeah. Let's not forget, that was only like 2-3 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago when Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne had that match at TakeOver Chicago. And that match was amazing. It was an incredible match. And it was only helped by Jim Ross's commentary. He didn't hurt that match at all. So yeah, he has his ups and downs, but he can still knock it out of the park every now and then. And when he knocks it out of the park, he hits it further than almost anybody.
But I think that's kind of like why a lot of people are like, well, then if he could provide that greatness on commentary, he should do it, and he should be able to do it still in every single show he's on. So when it sounds like to people that he's like phoning in or whatever, and I keep going back to that first New Japan show in the U.S. where he let down a lot of people, I guess, that were excited because they thought he brought a lot of credibility to New Japan being in America for the first time, and then he had a terrible showing, and I think that changed a lot of people's perception of him, and then it just kind of spiraled there because, yes, he's had great moments, but he's also had not so great moments, and I think they stand out more. So that was just my opinion. I feel like he could be better in a lot of respects in what I've seen the last couple of years, but I also think, like you said, he has had a lot of great moments too, but I think just because we were used to him growing up and he was the soundtrack almost of our lives, it's our WWF lives, that we hold him to a higher standard, I think, than a lot of other people, so that when he does kind of flub or sound disinterested even, or mess up names, that he takes more criticism now than he would have back then. When he kept calling, you know, he would keep calling Christian Edge and Edge Christian, like, that annoyed me, but I looked past it. But I think if he were to do the same thing now, what if he calls John Moxley Kenny Omega or vice versa? He's going, well, I don't know if he'll hear
the end.
There's
also social media too. Like, yeah, there wasn't social media back when Edge and Christian was around, you know, so.
Yeah, you didn't go on the IRC chats and the channels and talk about wrestling. That's what I did.
People make mistakes every now and then. So you can't, it happens to literally the best announcers in the world. I mean, you told Al Michaels, he's made a mistake here and there. You know, Joe Buck or Iron Eagle or whoever, Kevin Harlan, Marv Alberts. I mean, I'm just going. Mike Breen, all those great announcers that we know and love. Mike Tirico, they all at some point make a mistake here and there. You know, it happens. I don't think it takes... I don't know. People just...
I just think his are magnified because of comments like, oh, you're not going to see her making a sandwich in the kitchen type thing. Like, I don't think there's a need for that type of thing. To me, there's a difference between what we are watching and you're hearing the commentary and you think they're kind of apathetic towards the product you're watching. And I think that was the big deal with New Japan. But then, like, you know, just lines like that, it's like, why even... go there, because you know it's not even whatever analogy he's trying to make doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think in his mind he's like, look, this woman is more than just a housewife. She's badass, but people aren't going to take it that way because you just it's unnecessary.
Exactly.
So you're implying that women that aren't like her, all they do is make sandwiches.
Exactly. So I think he's better than that, but I don't know why he kind of falls into that. Because maybe in his mind he's like, "Oh, this will get her over" type thing, or so I think it's kind of like a shift.
It's more like just why is unnecessary.
Right. So I think that's what really caused a lot of people to turn against him, and I do understand that part of it. But to your point, I do think he still brings credibility. He could be a lot better than he was in those instances, and we've seen it. Like even at Double or Nothing, Fighter Fest, and at Fight for the Fallen, he got better like as the night went on, and I think by the main event he was absolutely on the top of his game as it can be. So I do think that he still brings enough to the broadcast. I do think they need him on TV at least, you know, for the first maybe year before they even think about replacing him as the lead voice, because they definitely need that voice. And Jim Ross on TNT, man, it's been a while since we even saw him on TBS. So Jim Ross on a Turner station would be very interesting.
Yeah, so other happenings, of course, you had Fight for the Fallen the night before, and it was a good show. AEW had another good showing. But after the show, Cody Rhodes takes another shot at WWE. And it's like, look, when Seth Rollins or somebody else comes claps back, don't be mad. That's all I'm saying. Because there's been numerous times AEW is taking shots at WWE, and everybody goes, oh, when somebody from WWE does the same thing, what? Come on. What are you talking about? So I'm just saying, don't be surprised when it happens. And don't be mad, neither, because they got to rep, they said they got to stand up for themselves. You can't just take those shots unwarranted and, you know, that's it. I wouldn't. You know
that.
Gonna talk crap about me, I'm gonna say something back at some point.
You know, they didn't even mention the charity aspect of that show after the pre-show. Cody mentioned it in a promo in the pre-show, and then the check presentation or at the end of the show. I don't even know if it was like a presentation. It was just kind of like, they're like, we're donating this to, no one was there to accept it, but they're just like, hey, we're donating $150,000. So, and then he listed like the people that had donated, I don't mind that aspect as much, but it's what they made it feel awkward. You know, like Cody shouldn't have went into promo mode. He should have just been like, thank you, everyone. This is how much we made. Yeah.
This is a charity show for victims of gun violence, and we're going into promo mode.
Yeah,
it ain't about WWE, but this is about charity, right?
Yeah, that's
it's about this charity. This is why the show supposedly exists. It's to help people of gun violence, which is a very serious thing that people, you know, are victims of every single day. Whether it's the person who gets shot, you know, or the families of the victims, and for them to go into promo mode or take a shot at WWE is probably ill timed. The Kenny Omega didn't want to do the bang thing at the end, which would have been in poor taste if he did do that. Yeah.
I liked the show overall, but those are the things that people are going to take from it, and those are the things that are going to make people judge AEW. Like, and that's why I think it was weird and it was kind of like out of place, because these are the only shows they have. They're not on TV yet. They're not building on TV where you could see the programs and storylines. They're relying on social media and all that, and not everyone is watching the videos. So this is what people have. This is the product that you're selling to people, and then you kind of go into promo mode during that, and it's just weird.
I don't understand why they do being the elite jokes on their shows. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
somebody made a good point on Twitter.
I guess like when WWE does stuff that, from the YouTube channel, and they bring it to TV, like they did with, essentially with Zack Ryder or Bad News Barrett. But there's no context to it. They just do it. Expect to be, I guess if you know, you know. If you don't,
right,
then you gotta watch
it. Exactly.
It's always the same thing. You gotta say, well, you gotta watch Being the Elite, man. You gotta watch Being the Elite. When WWE brought out Bad News Barrett, they kind of gave him a refresh.
Yeah.
And they kind of introduced him as that character. It wasn't like he just did it the same exact way they did it on YouTube. And it was like, well, you gotta watch YouTube, man. It's like, no, like this is who he is now. This is Bad News Barrett. Like, you know, what was your point on it, though?
I was gonna say that hopefully it's just these shows that they're getting it out, but it's like at the end of every show, everyone's like patting themselves on the back. And I'm not talking about the check presentation. I'm just talking about the Elite, you know, like those four guys are just like, yeah, like look what we're doing right now. It's like, all right, man, like I'm glad AEW's kind of got like an attitude to it where I don't believe them when they say they don't want to compete with WWE, that absolutely nobody is there to not compete with the top wrestling promotion in America and the world. They should want to compete with WWE. They should want to be better. So I definitely don't buy that they're not competing, but then at the end of every show, don't pat yourselves on the back and be like, yeah, like this is great. I loved the setup. I loved the setting of the event, the ramp, the way it looked. You know, it was very different. I hope they continue to do things like that where they think out of the box and they do different venues like that. Maybe not for their weekly TV, but at least for some of their, I don't know if they'll have a show every month after debuting on TV or if they'll do it, you know, here and there, like every 2 months, every 3 months, we'll see. But that was something I really liked. But I don't need to be reminded of how great, you know, the people who run the company think they are because they made this company. You know, just that's what watching that is telling me. It's like, yeah, like we're the best. I don't know. To me, it's a little, it's not real. You know, that to me, it's like they're pandering and saying like, yeah, you hated WWE, so we're here to save wrestling type thing. And that's not what they're saying, but that's just kind of like the vibe I'm getting from
them.
So
I
don't need after every single show, after every single pay-per-view, well, not pay-per-view because the last two ones were free, but at All Out, I don't want to see the Bucks, Cody, and Omega at the end of the show patting themselves on the back.
Well, you see CM Punk at the end of that show because he's going to be at StarCast.
I'll tell you, man, I would be all in if that would happen. No, absolutely.
Going to be all in to see a Punk being at All Out? Eh?
Because I don't want to see him in WWE again, just because I don't think it's ever going to be the same. You know, he comes back, you know, he's still going to be neutered to an extent. I'm not saying AEW is going to give him the biggest leash, but and I'm kind of over him anyway to begin with. But if he were to come back in AEW, I would definitely be interested. And I think that would be a good move for them.
Oh, it'd be a killer move for them. Great move. They got CM Punk. I mean, come on. I mean,
I understated
that's
that.
That's a no-brainer. But
absolutely. It would be a good move.
It'd be a great move. But that's going to be interesting to look out for if he does show up at All Out at all. I mean, he's definitely going to be a StarCast, so we'll see. Keep your eyes open. I'm sure people will. That's going to make people want to watch All Out, if anything. It will show up. And, you know, even if he doesn't show up, people are going to watch this in hopes that he does. I thought Evolve had a good showing at the 2300 Arena, which, of course, if you want to hear more about the 2300 Arena, patreon.com/shootersradio, go check it out. We got a whole show about the 2300 Arena and me getting a Super Bowl ring there a little over a year ago about this time. So go check that out. Nominal fee of $1.99 for the show. Go check
it out.
I think
it's one of our best episodes ever.
I agree. Blue Meanie was on it. He has a lot of knowledge. He was there. Intimate knowledge about the building. Go check it out. But I thought that was cool. It was cool to see Drew Gulak get like a big spotlight there. They had a cool entrance for him.
Yeah.
And then he got to defend the Cruiserweight title the next night. So it was a big Philly weekend for my boy, Drew Gulak. Hail Northeast. Northeast High School. So I saw a lot of good reports about it. I didn't watch it as it happened. I was at a function, but I did see a lot of clips. I got to see some matches after the fact. I thought it was really good. And then he had Extreme Rules, which a lot of people were like, this is the best show WWE's done all year. So, yeah, good thing it happened in Philly, man, because the last time they had a pay-per-view in Philly, it was hot garbage. We got the worst Usos New Day match of the series they had. Remember that?
So, are you talking about Battleground? Because yes. We did have the Rumble after
I forgot about the Rumble.
I think that kind of helps leave that taste out of our mouth.
Yeah.
But Battleground and was we had, the worst pay-per-view ever.
I take that back, because we did have the Rumble, which both Rumbles were really good.
Yeah, the first Women's Rumble. In Philly,
right. So, and okay. TakeOver the night before was incredible.
Yes. You were at that. You were live there. Yeah.
Man,
I was at Tony
and Adam Cole, and then
yes,
Almas and Gargano. Yep. Woo! My God!
And that's when we went to the Pritchard show after NXT.
Yeah. Yep.
I was actually at Tony Luke's watching that on my phone, waiting for NXT to get over so I could roll over, pick you up, and then head to the ECW arena. So that was a very memorable night for me for a different reason. Yeah. I was chilling in my car eating a cheesesteak watching NXT.
Hey, as you should. That's called dedication to the craft.
That's it. Right. That's right.
So, that's what we both have on this year's show. That's why we got 204 episodes here in the can on Straight Shooters. And we're about to wrap up episode 204. So,
by the way, did you enjoy the cash-in?
Oh, the Brock thing? I mean, whatever. Brock is champion. I couldn't be more apathetic about a cash-in.
At least it didn't happen against Kofi, because I kind of would have been
annoyed. That was true, too. Did you see the video I retweeted? The Boondocks? Nah. Wouldn't let that happen to me, though! That was pretty funny.
I missed that one.
So I was happy that it didn't happen to Kofi Kingston. And we talked about it a little bit last week. Yeah. But Kofi Kingston is the longest reigning champion in WWE right now. Who would have thunk it? He had a longer reign than Seth frickin' Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And he's all but assured to walk into SummerSlam as a WWE champion.
And he's been one of the best booked champions that I can remember.
Yeah. And, of course, him and New Day, all champions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time to be a New Day right now. 5 years running for this group.
That's right.
And it seems like it's only getting better. They've had a whole bunch of tag title runs, but this one is special because Kofi is a WWE champion, too. It's a good time to be a part
of this. Imagine that. Like, they're still together. No one's turned on them, and they haven't added anyone. So it's just like them three.
Unless you count the people they had at WrestleMania a couple of years ago for their entrance.
Or Kevin Owens. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Kevin. So, yeah, you know, but yeah, good time to be a New Day. WWE, it didn't look good for them in the beginning, but it turned out to be a great decision to keep them together. And I'm sure they're making a lot of money off merch and Kofi's champ. It's a good time. So, but the cash in, whatever. Been there, done that with Brock. I really do not care. I don't know if this reign is going to be, something tells me it's not going to be super long.
Yeah.
But that's just, that, maybe
so,
I'm
like, wrong. It's just a rematch now because Rollins won Monday night. And
it was just 1-on-1, right?
Why? I don't want to see Rollins beat him again.
Yeah, we already saw that. Like, I don't know. But
they did it with Reigns, so we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. But in the meantime, Nick, take us out with some plugs.
You can follow me at Nick McCone on Twitter. Follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter. Got some clips up there every week. So make sure you follow us, man. We got a good following last week, so keep it up. Also, you could find my sports writing at phillyinfluencer.com. You can find this podcast also at phillyinfluencer.com and phillyvoice.com. And we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/thestraightshooters.
There you go. I'm at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. Of course, you can find me on there. And if not, you can probably find me out here in these streets, even though with training camp coming up and this heat, might not be out in these streets too much. It's hot and
I won't be
busy pretty that. Soon. So yeah, of course, all the platforms I mentioned earlier, you can be a huge deal if you rated, subscribed, and reviewed us on those platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, SoundCloud, Spotify, and of course the mothership WildfireRadio.com. And of course, we would love you even more. Love you to infinity if you went on to patreon.com/shootersradio and subscribe to that, some of that exclusive content with a nominal fee of $1.99. Well, you can't get much in $1.99 nowadays, but you can get some exclusive content on patreon.com/shootersradio for $1.99.
Great exclusive content.
Exactly.
5 stars.
Yeah. 6 stars, because we did one episode about 2300 Arena, which is Tokyo Dome of Philadelphia, essentially. Essentially for the wrestling league, I guess. I don't know. I tried to make that work. It didn't really work out too well.
The Madison Square Garden of Philly.
Yeah.
By the way, they're going back to MSG.
I saw it.
SmackDown. Interesting.
I saw that. So, yeah, go check it out. Patreon.com/shootersradio. But until next time, for Nick McCone, I'm Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 204 of The Straight Shooters. And we'll catch y'all again next week.
Peace.
You've been listening to The Straight Shooters on Wildfire Radio. For advertising opportunities, contact Nick Picone via email at PiconeNick@gmail.com or call 856-625-1190.